based on what Brother Dean said this morning, I'm going to go right along that line, if I may. I'm going to tell you some reasons why I want to go to heaven. Because that's where I want to go.
Amen.
I want to see you there.
Amen.
And the others. We've lost a few in the last year. But I know one thing. By the assurance of the Word of God, we're going to see them again.
Amen.
And it thrills my heart. Since we were here last year, God has answered a prayer that I've had in my heart for 11 years. Just a few weeks ago, my two granddaughters were saved. And I prayed for them from the time each of them were born. One is 11 and the other one is almost 9 now. And God saw fit to take their dad over to France to work for about a month and a half so we could get him over to church, get the girls over to church. Now, you may not be bothered by that, but it probably is because you married in the Lord, and that's what really counts. You see, but every time, every day, I ask God to save them. Now it feels so good to thank Him every day in prayer for saving them.
Amen.
You know, and I've got one little one down in Florida I want to see saved too. And you might say that's what we ought to do, is pray and ask God. But turn with me in your Bibles, please, into the book of Revelation in chapter 20. We'll read in a couple of chapters over here, or three, just a few verses, and kind of set the scene, or whatever you want to call it, for the thought that I've been praying about preaching at this conference, and I believe it's the Lord's will. But in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You don't have to speculate about that and say, is that really going to happen? It will happen.
Amen.
It's going to take place. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." Somebody said, why is that going to happen? Because God said it's going to happen.
Amen, brother.
And that'll be exactly what's going to happen. But now notice what his end will be. In verse 7, same chapter. "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." You see, no matter what Satan may try to do, and try to thwart or destroy the workings of the Lord, and try to harm or do harm to God's people or even God's men, his preachers, he's going to fail. He can't get away with it. You see, and in verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now that's going to happen. Chapter 21 and verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I believe the holy city, New Jerusalem, will be the dwelling place of the bride of Christ. Now the nations of the earth, the kings of the nations of the earth that he talks about, of the saved, nations which are saved, shall walk in the light of that city. But one of the things that thrills my heart and blesses my soul is to read in the Word of God and find that there'll be no light in the city. Jesus will be the light, you see. And that's what thrills me. Because we may be separated now, but he said he's here today, and I believe that he is. But I'm so thankful today to know that one day we will see him. I'm getting to that place where it tells us in the next chapter we're going to see him face to face. And so in this particular reading, he said in verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Won't that be glorious? I hope God can help me, if it'll please him, to get what I feel in my heart about that. Because there's some things in this world today that are not right. But I tell you what, where we're going one day, beloved, if you're saved, everything will be right. Amen. And so as we see this, he said, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Isn't the grace of God wonderful? Just imagine what you and I go through, or what we go through in this life and our loved ones go through, of pain and suffering and sadness. And I may say some more about that. But now one more place. Chapter 22 and verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Some reasons why I want to go to heaven. Heaven is to some a place that doesn't really exist. And I've talked to people who feel like they'd like to believe there's a heaven, but they sure don't want to believe there's a hell. And I witnessed to a fellow the other day, and he said, "Hell is nothing more than what we have down here on earth." I said, "If you think that's bad, if you don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you go on out into eternity, you'll find what hell's all about." And so today, my friend, heaven is a place that exists. And I would hope and pray that some of you, if you're here today and you're a doubter, and you want to say, "Prove it to me." Well, I don't know, if you never trust in the Lord, one day it'll be proven to you that there is a hell. But I hope today that it'll bless us who are saved and comfort us and draw us closer to the Lord. And then that we realize, those of you that are here and lost today, that you might realize that heaven indeed is a real place, but that it's a place now that we all have perhaps, and I trust that we have loved ones that are there today living with the Lord. Now, the reason I say that is because based upon the Bible said absent from the body is present with the Lord. When they went on out into eternity, that body went back to the dust from whence it came, you see. But the soul and the spirit went home to be with the Lord, didn't it? And so it's encouraging. And though we may be separated today, and one of the things that I want you to see today is that there's going to be a great reunion one day. But the greatest thing we're going to see, and the greatest person we're going to see, I want to wait for a while before, and I think you already know it, and there's so many that we want to see and rejoice and fellowship with up there, but there's someone else that I want to see.
Yes.
And so as we look at it, the Bible, and if you'll keep your finger here and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible, my friend, speaks of heaven in over here, and it says, I guess I said it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I used to just read this verse and stop. And I thought, man, we never know what that place is going to be like, but we can know what it's going to be like. God's told us in His Word. So He put in verse 10 for us to read on. Notice verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us.
Amen, brother.
Then He said, But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Amen, brother.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen.
Now, I like to think about it, and I rejoice when I read about heaven in the Word of God. I like to read about the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl and the holy city, New Jerusalem, and the size of that city and who's going to live there and everything else. But I tell you what, my friend, it all pales by comparison with the one that we will see when we stand before Him one day, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and rewards will be given, rewards withheld, and one day we'll be able, if we have any rewards, to place or cast
Amen.
Our thrones before Him.
Amen.
And say, worthy is the Lamb to
Amen.
Be praised, if you will, today.
Amen.
Friend, today there's nobody, and I'm getting back where I've been, I can't get away from that, but I tell you what, we can rejoice because there's only one Jesus and we can rejoice in Him today. What we know about heaven then is revealed to us right now by the Word of God. We can look in the Bible and know about it, you see. This knowledge and all that it tells us about heaven causes us, and we ought to long to be there. I want to be there one day. I sure don't want to stay here all throughout eternity. This place is a mess. And so I want to be there. I want to be there with the loved ones that have gone on before and see them again. I've got a mother up there. I've got a dad that was saved when he was 69 years of age, and he's up there today. And I want to see him one day and see my mother one day. My wife's dad is up there. And I've got friends that are up there. We've got preacher brethren and church members and your church and other churches that are up there today, and we want to see them again. But I tell you what, and I'm going to say it now, but I'll say it at the end. The greatest sight, the greatest thing we'll ever see, the greatest person you and I will ever see will be one day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and praise Him and tell Him, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I had a church member a few years ago on a Saturday morning. They called me up and said he just went home to be with the Lord. And I thought it would be later that day perhaps. And I rushed in the car, put on the radio, and listened to that song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. And I tell you why. Because Jesus is there. Nothing compares to it. No one can take His place, you see. So in the book of Revelation, what we read this afternoon in your hearing, beloved, in our text is some reasons why we want to go to heaven. These things that many of our loved ones have already experienced because they beat us there, we're going to experience one day. And if you're here today and lost, you may, I hope, before this conference comes to a close tonight, you'll come and keep coming and find out what all this excitement's about. Because we've got something to be excited about. And just to understand that we're going to be with him forever. You know, beloved, when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said in there, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now that's comfort, friend. And I tell you what, in the day that you and I live in today with so much deceit in government, so much sin in the land and country, we need comforting at times. And we can find that in the Word of God. Now let me just show you a few things. Ooh, what time did I start? 2:30? Is that it? 2:30 or what? Or 2:15? Oh, okay. First of all, there'll be no more Satan. You know, that's the end of it. In Revelation 20 and verses 1 through 3, we find that there'd be an angel of the Lord will come with a great chain and bind him. Bind him, if you will, and cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, I'm not trying to speculate so much, but if you ever started to take a fall and you can't right yourself and you feel insecure because there's nothing under you to stop your fall, just imagine what that's going to be like for 1,000 years. I'm not, again, I said I wasn't speculating, but he's going to be there for 1,000 years. During that time, we're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord on the earth, aren't we? That's called the millennial reign. We understand before that time, as we see in the book of Revelation, there'll be a rapture that'll take place. It's covered in 1 Corinthians 15. It's covered in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll be called up to meet the Lord in the air. On this earth, Satan will finally look like he's ascended to the throne in the person of the Antichrist. He'll deceive the nations and they'll bow down to him, literally worship him, if you will, in the person of the Antichrist. And for 3.5 years, everything will look good. It'll look like the stock market today. Everybody will have plenty. But in the midst of the 7 years of tribulation, things will get pretty bad. And people start suffering. All this time, you and I are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be at the marriage of the Lamb. Or if you're a guest there, you'll be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus is going to take a bride unto himself. Now, I've said this before, and I believe it personally, that obviously it's going to be a Baptist bride. And I see the importance of being faithful to the bridegroom. And so we have a big responsibility today. At that time then, as it looks like everything is going to get black and worse than it ever has before in the history of this world, the nations of the earth will converge in that little nation of Israel at the closing out of the tribulation. Gog and Magog and Gomer, which is Germany, will come down from the north, and the armies of the earth will converge on it. Some will escape, and about a third of them are going to live, as far as I understand it. And it looks like all else is going to fail, and the nations come down to do battle with them and converge on them. And what happens? Here comes Jesus. Now he's going to prevail and conquer in that conflict, in that great battle. And we'll come back with him to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. At the end of that time, Satan will be loosed. And what I want you to understand today is Satan is running rampant in the world that you and I live in. Who is behind the deception in politics and government in this world today? The God of this world, isn't he? Who is behind, if you will, the treachery and deceit, if you will, in the lending institutions in the world, when the biggest thing in the world to many people today is buy and sell and get gain? Who is behind, if you will, the trash and the filth that is perpetrated in Hollywood, if you will, that even if you say, "I don't go to the movies, preacher," we see it on our TV screens. I got troubled about that the other night. And so, Satan is having a field day now because he knows his time is limited. You see. But you see, the thing that ultimately will happen to him, as we look carefully in the Bible from verses 7 through 10 in chapter 20, is he'll ultimately be cast in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And there'll be no coffee breaks or no relief over there. There no vacations in that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. He's going to endure suffering just like those who did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity. Now, this is what this means. It means to me that today you and I serve a God, and that God has a power great enough to remove Satan and all evil and sin from the face of this earth and remake this earth. And I believe that he's going to do just that. Now, who is Satan? Who is Satan to you? His name tells us who he is. You see, he's the dragon. He said over there, he's the spiritual power that stirs up fiery and cruel and brutal passion of people and governments, and it causes people and governments to behave like beasts and have no regard for human flesh or human beings. That has to be eradicated. When Jesus comes back, if we're ever going to have a millennial reign on the earth, if we're ever going to have peace like we're hungering and yearning for today, for the Lord to come back, you see, then the Bible calls him that old serpent. And simply to me, that means a spiritual power that deceives and seduces and beguiles people, that leads people into sin and evil, and leads people to ignore the rules of or laws of the land and country, to cause people to deny the very existence of God. And that God that they deny, they're going to meet one day face to face. Friend, listen to me. And if it gets away from you, I want to say it right now. Not everybody that talks about heaven is going there. We need to understand today that what we're involved in here and what we're doing today is very serious business. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is very important today. And when we come to the realization that we're a lost soul and we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and trust Him, and we have a clear title in glory, then that's something we can rejoice in, but that's serious business. Because what you and I have, we want to see other people come to realize and other people come to know Him as their personal Savior. But you see, my friend, he is Satan, that spiritual power that accuses and opposes and stands as an enemy to God and His followers. And don't think that he's in long red underwear with a big pitchfork and has a long tail. That's not him. He's subtle and he beguiles and he tempts. You see, one of the most tremendous things that has happened today to your loved ones and mine that have been saved by the grace of God is they've left this world of sin behind and went home to be with the Lord. Heaven's a wonderful place. They're no longer under the influence of Satan. And you see, this world is. But don't fall for the pretext or the lie that somebody comes along and said, look what I've done, the devil made me do it. Now, their old flesh wanted to do it too, or they wouldn't have gotten involved in the first place. That's the danger of it, you see. And so, my friend, if there's anything worse today, I can't name it, but there's something better for the believer today. We're going to go home one day to be with the Lord. Can you imagine what it would be like today without the temptation of Satan in your life? Say, he doesn't tempt me, preacher. I'm saved. Yes, he does. Amen. He does. If you realize it and recognize it, he'll tempt you. He'll say, well, why go to church Sunday morning? It's nice and I'll go fishing. Uh-huh. Or your flesh will tempt you. But the point simply is we need to be in the house of God when the doors are open to worship the Lord. Because we know the Lord will be here and He'll be there to meet us, if you will. But we can walk in joy today and be thankful that though He may be loose for a season, He's ultimately going back to that place where He'll torment and deceive the nations no more. Friend, today there will be no more Satan. He's doomed because God said he's doomed.
Amen, brother.
Then, if time will permit, the second thing I want to share with you today is there'll be no more sin.
Amen.
No more sin. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 5 and verse 22, I just want to share one verse of Scripture with you. Notice what the Bible said. Our saved loved ones have experienced that over there where they're at. There's no sin in heaven.
All we have to do is look into the Bible, because especially in the holy city, the Bible tells us nothing that defiles will enter into that city. You see. So it's pure. It's sinless, like our Savior. But in Proverbs 5 and 22, the Bible said, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." You know what sin does? It arrests you. It captivates you. Somebody gets involved. One of the biggest sins you can be involved in today in this world that you and I live in because of Hollywood are sexual sins, and they seem to make you think, if you watch it and read about it or hear what they say on these, even the newscasts, is to deceive you into thinking that it's quite all right for you to go ahead and do that. But God said it's sin.
Amen, brother.
He said adultery and fornication are sins. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin has become like ropes that confine us and hold us down when we are tempted and surrender to that temptation, if you will. You might even be here right now this afternoon, and you might find yourself a slave to sin, and you wish you could kick that habit. And this world that we live in, what kind of world are we living in when industry and everything else can deceive people and take advantage of them? And the leaders of the country and the citizens of the country go right along and say, "I'm prospering today. Why change the White House?" That's a cop-out. Don't you think that the God of this world knows the thing that impresses you the most is your pocketbook? He's got you thinking that as long as you're making big money and having a good time, you got money in the bank and you can go on a vacation, that everything is fine, and this fella is supporting whoremongers and homosexuals and everything else, and look at the shape we're in today. Spiritually, America is in bad shape. And when the Bible said that in the last days perilous times shall come, we're in the last days, and they have come today. And when people say it doesn't matter what you do in your church is your church, and my church is my church, I tell you what, it matters to God.
Amen.
And it ought to be a church that is going to stand for what's right.
Amen, brother.
If the Bible says something, you know what used to thrill me about it? God help me get back to this thought. But what used to thrill my heart about what we were taught in Baptist church after I was saved was that the preacher preached from the Bible. And what we practiced was according to the Bible. You say, "But we've got 10,000 members." Ha, ha, ha. What have you got if you don't have Jesus? If you don't have the truth?
Amen, brother.
What have you got?
Amen.
You see? You see, I've got some good news for you today. There's coming a time, if you will, when we will no longer be under the influence of sin.
Amen.
Won't that be great?
Amen.
Won't that be wonderful compared to what we experience today? I hear so much and read so much in the papers, and the newscasts are so full of so many things like drive-by shootings. You don't dare honk your horn at somebody. You might have them point a gun at you. And that's what we're living in today. No longer to have bad thoughts about somebody. No, never more to do a wrong deed in which you wish you'd never done before. Or say a wrong word that you wish you'd never said before. Just think. There'll be no more sin in heaven. No more. I'm tired of a world where there's murder. Brother Dunn, you said the other night, just we talk about abortion, we talk about this, that, and the other thing, and drugs, but we won't have that in there. It won't be any drugs in heaven. Won't be, if you will, any whiskey or beer. You know, and some people today think they're putting one over in the preacher and put whiskey and beer in the refrigerator. And say, "Nobody knows, you know, and here they got it there, and when they want it, they go get it and drink it." That's wrong. You see, I'm tired, my friend, of a world where there's so many broken homes today. I'm tired of a world where people today are men raise a family or beget a family, if you will, and won't even pay to support their children. What kind of world is that? What kind of home is that? You see, I heard on the news on the way up here this morning There was a man that inoculated or put an injection in his son with the HIV virus, so his son wouldn't have to support his son. And now the newscast said today that the son has grown into full-blown AIDS. That's pretty pitiful. God help this world, and it's so depraved and wicked. I'm tired today of hearing these politicians say that we have a hidden agenda. I've got an agenda, and I don't hide it. And so do you if you're saved today and member of the New Testament Church. My agenda is to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever He's commanded us. And lo, He's with us always, even until the end of the world. That's our agenda, and Baptists don't hide it. They turn around today, and because we're against sin, they say we're the radical right. Well, thank God there's some people that are against sin. Thank God today there's some people that care and care enough for their families and care enough for their churches and pray and ask God to help in this world that you and I live in. You see, because there's so much wickedness and vileness in it and so much bitterness and everything else. But here's the real winner also. I've heard people say, you people that believe that are nothing more than losers. But God didn't say that, Brother Titus. He said, we're winners. Amen. You see, the Bible said, but thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're winners today. We're not losers. I defy them to tell us that we have a hidden agenda. I defy them to tell us that we're the radical right. They can call us anything we want to, but if we're standing for God and we're standing for the Word of God, we're on the right track and on the right path. God help us to stay that way. I defy them to say that we're losers, because as I just mentioned over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe verse 57, we're winners today. We're not losers. We made so much about Michigan winning the Rose Bowl. Winning the Rose Bowl is nothing compared to being saved and being headed to that city whose builder and maker is God. My friend, I'll tell you why. I don't want to stay down here. I want to go to heaven. That's there'll be no Satan in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven, if you will. And the next thing, no more will we be separated from God. Amen. No more will we be separated from our loved ones that were saved by the grace of God and went on home to be with the Lord. You see, since the first sin in the garden, because of sin, man's been separated from God and needs to be reconciled unto God. And man needs to be reconciled through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he needs to repent and receive Him by faith as his personal Savior, along with repentance, of course, in order to one day enter into that place, that land that's fairer than day, that one that we can see by faith from afar. But right now there's separation. In chapter 21 then, in verses 1 through 3, we see a great separation over there. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, I watch these people on TV, and I read about them in the newspapers and the newscasts and all that. And they say, well, so-and-so's coming to town. Boy, the town's going to be full with watching that celebrity, going to see that celebrity. So-and-so's coming to town. You know, today if we got out here in the corners in the main intersection down here in Mount Morris, or if we went right down downtown in Detroit and we hollered, Jesus is coming, are you ready today? Heaven is real and it's a place where the redeemed are going to be throughout eternity. They would just mock us and laugh at us. Say, you people are nuts. What do you want to go there for? So-and-so's coming to town. I can't think of a celebrity I'd walk across the street to see anymore. You know. But you see, we're suffering today because we've been separated from the very presence of God, but one day that presence is going to be brought right back again. And He'll be with us, and we'll be with Him. Isn't that glorious today? Isn't that wonderful today? We rejoice in knowing where our loved ones have gone today. Those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, thank God today for His grace and mercy. We're going to be reunited with them up there in glory. There's no eternal separation, my friend. See, when a loved one is taken from us, there's a time of separation. But my friend, this time in the life of those who love them and remain behind, it's a time of sorrow because they missed their loved one. But I can only imagine that would be worse. One thing would be worse, and that's being eternally separated and spend a life of eternity in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. No more separation up there. So as we see it, I need to hurry. Two things or three, and then I'll close. The thing I want you to see today, in verse 4 in that same chapter, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." You know, friend, today, this world and this life is a veil of tears. It's a place of crying. And it hurts sometimes when we let that loved one go. We don't really let them go because God's taken them, you see. And there's that separation. But one thing I see in the Bible, and I believe you, I don't try to speculate about it. I just believe what it says. And I believe that He'll literally wipe away all tears from our eyes, don't you? And that's not speculation. He said so. God doesn't lie. "And there shall be no more death." We'll never die again. The second birth assures us of eternal life. The Bible also addresses it and said it's everlasting life. And there'll be no more sorrow, nor crying, and there'll be no more pain. We've all had loved ones, and maybe you yourself that are here today have had pain in your life. And you've hurt because of the pain, the illness, the affliction that you've had. But one day there'll be no more pain. And He'll take care of it, you see. For the former things are passed away. Now think about this. No more Satan. No more sin. No more death. We'll be with Him forever. No more pain. No more suffering. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more separations. We're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to be with our loved ones who, with like precious faith, have received Him as their personal Savior. And we can think about that and recognize today as we think about it, in the turmoil in this world, in the dissatisfaction and the discontent with this old world, one thing I'll guarantee you on today, when we go home to be with the Lord, we're going to be contented. You won't be discontented. And we can rejoice forevermore in the presence of the Lord. Friend, listen, wouldn't it be wonderful today if one day you stood before the Lord and you've been faithful to Him, you've stayed with the book, you've stayed by the Word, and you've been faithful to serve Him, and one day He looked at you and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." Wouldn't that be glorious?
Amen.
Preacher, friend, today, church member today, wouldn't that be glorious if He said He put a stamp of approval on your ministry? Not for you. Not for ourselves. But for Him who's done so much for us.
Amen.
May God speak to our hearts. May God show us today what this is all about and then realize how beautiful heaven must be.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God.